Your conference is being recorded.
So we'll begin. Good morning to our call participants in Asia and good evening to our participants from the U.S. This is the conference call for the first quarter results of Del Monte Pacific Group, DMPL, ending July 2018. Representing Del Monte in this call are Cito Alejandro, Group Chief Operating Officer of DMPL, Parag Sachdeva, Group CFO of DMPL, Greg Longstreet, CEO of Del Monte Foods, DMFI, U.S. subsidiary of DMPL, Gene Allen, CFO of DMFI, and this is Iggy Sison, Chief Corporate Officer of DMPL. Before we start the call, may we request all participants to please mute their phone. Thank you. So we'll now start on slide 5, and Parag Sachdeva, CFO, will now present our first quarter results for DMPL.
Thank you very much, Iggy. Good morning, everyone. With slide 5, sharing with you the Q1 highlights, the group generated sales of $437 million, 8% lower than prior quarter, mainly due to lower sales in the U.S., which is in line with its U.S. subsidiary strategy to deprioritize non-profitable businesses. The group purchased $99 million of DMFI loans at a discount, which further lowered group debt, reduced interest expense, and trimmed our gearing to 2.5 times equity from 3 times in prior year period. As a result of the one-off gain from the purchase of DMFI loans, the group reported a net income of $3 million, higher than $0.7 million in the prior year quarter. Slide 6 on the outlook. The group is expected to be profitable for FY 2019, barring unforeseen circumstances. Major emphasis on responding consumer trends continues through strengthening the core business and innovating, particularly outside the can, and Greg will talk more about that. Focusing on growing our branded business and reducing non-strategic, non-branded business segments. The second pillar being improving our financial performance through review of manufacturing and distribution footprint in the U.S., other operational efficiencies, and reducing costs and increasing margins through the same. Additionally, increasing the cash flow, strengthening the balance sheet, and reducing leverage and interest expense that we have continued demonstrating in the last couple of years would continue. Slide 7, sharing with you group results summary. Sales, as I mentioned before, of $437.2 million, down 7.7%. If we take out Sager Creek sales, the U.S. sales would have been lower by 6.7%. Philippines, in line with year ago in local currency, but 5.3% lower in U.S. dollar terms. S&W brand in Asia has declined by 15%, mainly due to softness in processed fruit category in North Asia and shipments being stopped temporarily in Turkey due to political instability and currency devaluation. Dairy in India has grown at 11% in U.S. dollar terms, driven by growth of Del Monte branded business in retail. EBITDA of U.S. dollar $27.3 million, down 18% from U.S. dollar $33.1 million due to lower sales in the U.S., lower exports of processed pineapple products out of Philippines and Asia, significantly reduced pine juice concentrate prices, and higher product costs that were partly offset by price increase in the Philippines and lower trade spend in the U.S. Operating profit of US$10.5 million, down 34% from $15.8 million. Net loss of US$3.7 million from a profit of US$1.2 million. As in the previous update, all of the above profitability numbers are without one-off costs and are versus last year. I would also like to summarize that we have successfully lowered our inventory in the U.S. and reduced the same by $246 million versus same period last year. On slide 8, we have summarized non-recurring expenses, and these include a one-time gain with the initiative of buying out the second lien loan from third-party lenders, the pre-tax gain from the purchase of BMFI second lien loan at a discount to par, net of transaction cost was $15.9 million on a pre-tax basis. Would like to also remind that following the divestiture of Sager in FY18, we had incurred US$13.1 million for write-down of Sager inventory based on our estimated net realizable value in Q4. However, the actual cost or loss incurred on the bulk sale of approximately 2 million cases of Sager products was higher by US$7.4 million. We are now left with almost 0.6 million cases of Sager stocks as we entered the second quarter. US$1 million was also incurred in severance across several locations as we optimize our resources. On slide 9, we provide you financial highlights in a little bit more detailed manner. So we'll go through the same. The first quarter sales, as outlined at 437, 7.7% lower than last year, driven by decreased exports of processed pineapple products, unfavorable impact of lower pineapple juice concentrate pricing, as well as lower DMFI sales, which is in line with our strategic intent to reduce dependence on non-profitable businesses. Gross margin at 18.5% is lower by 220 basis points on an organic basis, again impacted by lower PJC pricing. Higher costs, our tin plate costs have gone up both in the U.S. and in Philippines. Sugar tax, the newly introduced sugar tax in Philippines. Lower yield and recoveries in the U.S. in FY18 as we sell inventory from last year also impacts our margin. Lower benefit from revaluation of biological assets as compared to last year, and to some extent, under absorption of overheads since we made a planned reduction in our pack last year, particularly for veg products, where we reduced our production volume by almost 10%. EBITDA of US$27.3 million and operating profit at $10.5 million lower versus last year by 18 and 34% respectively on a recurring basis. Profit performance for group impacted by incremental one-offs required to dispose of residual inventory of Sager products and lower gross margin as I have explained earlier. Our financing cost lower than last year, mainly due to lower level of borrowings. It also includes one-off gain of $15.9 million from additional purchase of $99.1 million of loans in the U.S. at a discount. Our share in FieldFresh joint venture in India was favorable at $0.1 million income from a $0.5 million loss in the prior year period due to improvement in sales and margin. Just to remind you all, year ago was also impacted by implementation of GST in India in Q1. Our tax credit of $2.9 million is lower due to reduction in tax rate from 35 to 21%, in addition to tax cost on the gain from buyout of two second lien loan. Our net income for the quarter of $3 million higher versus last year, mainly due to gain from the buyout of second lien loan at a discount. On a recurring basis, we incurred a loss of $3.7 million, down $4.9 million versus last year. Our net debt at $1.5 billion, lower by $249 million due to payment of loans after the issuance of preference shares in December 2017, amounting to $100 million, purchase of DMFI loans, and reduction in DMFI inventory, leading to an improved gearing ratio of 2.49 times. On slide 10, I would provide you a little bit of perspective on our sales performance. Americas, which constitutes 70% of our total group sales, lower by 8.8% in the first quarter to $306 million, mainly driven by lower volume across categories, most significantly branded tomatoes and private label sales, as well as unfavorable impact of lower pricing in food service for pine juice concentrate. The decline in sales was in line with DMFI strategy to deprioritize non-profitable businesses, including private label business. DMFI increased its market share during the quarter across key categories in retail, that's canned vegetables, canned fruits, and fruit and plastic cups. Our strategic thrust on innovation continued with the successful launch of fruit and oatmeal on-the-go cups, and again, Greg will talk more about the same. Asia-Pacific sales, first quarter declined by 7.5% to $120.6 million from $130.3 million due to decreased exports of processed pineapple products and unfavorable sales mix in the Philippines. The sales of Del Monte packaged fruit declined in the Philippines. NSNW sales in North Asia and Middle East were also impacted due to increased competition from lower-priced canned fruit from Thailand and Indonesia. The fill market sales were flat in peso terms but down 5% in U.S. dollar terms. Continued growth driven by key accounts in food service and retail was offset by lower sales of mixed fruits due to excess trade inventory. Del Monte Philippines launched Del Monte Juice and Chews nationally, a drink popular amongst teens, and we are into the second quarter post. Food service sales in the Philippines remain strong, riding on the rapid expansion of QSRs and convenience stores. When it comes to Europe, it's a small region for us. Sales did increase by 32% to $10.4 million on a small base of 7.8, and that was mainly on higher volume of pineapple juice concentrate partly offset by significantly lower PJC pricing. With that, I would request Greg to take us through an update on Del Monte Foods.
Thank you, Parag. On slide 12, we're highlighting some of the key areas of strategic focus for Del Monte Foods, and we're making good progress in each of these areas. The first is building relevance. This is a consistent strategy which began last year to differentiate our brands, to focus our organization on selling our added goods at a premium, and really differentiate ourselves with consumers against our competition. I'm also pleased to announce, as part of this work, we launched our brand new national called Growers is Good, which focuses the many benefits of Del Monte's products and process brings to consumers. The second is innovation, and as Parag mentioned, we're intently focused on innovating and bringing new products to market outside of the can. We're having very good success in this area, particularly in the snack cup category in our plastic fruit cup and adult cup business. Some examples are shown here on the page with fruit chia, which continues well in the U.S. market, where as many as 60% of consumers are new consumers, Del Monte and millennial consumers. And we recently launched at the bottom right-hand corner our new fruit and oats product line, which has performed quite well in the marketplace. We're selling higher velocities than fruit and chia. We're gaining distribution for this event. We're bringing many new users to the brand for our category with this new fruit product. Third is expanding distribution. So we're working hard to consumers in growing areas of the store and new areas out the central store. Example is produce sales, where we've added $8 million in new net sales this fiscal year through our work to build that business and develop more products. We're also having success by eliminating some of our brand competition. This is an initiative that we began last year, and at several key U.S. retailers, such as Walmart, Target, Myers, we're having good success eliminating brand competitors and really creating the stores Del Monte and private label of tiered brands. And then lastly and importantly, we have a very big supply chain that we're working hard to consolidate and eliminate expense in that arena and cost and finding ways to be more efficient in our supply chain. On slide 13, there's the market update on our market shares. We maintain our share leadership position in our core businesses in the first quarter and experienced share growth in three of our quarters in the first quarter, canned fruits, and fruit cups. These share growth results were driven by innovation and strong execution for our business, particularly in light of the reduced trade promotion expense we put forth. So we achieved this growth through trade dollars invested to promote our products, so really leveraging the strength of our brands. We're also pursuing new channels of growth, such as food service, except on the next slide. On slide 14, recap, as indicated by Parag, our sales were first quarter versus prior year. This was planned. It was strategic in nature. It was done to eliminate sales, particularly private label. Fine. Also driven by our effort to reduce the high levels of trade promotion expense that we have historically driven across our businesses. So those planned reductions in sales have actually increased our gross margins on the business. We'll make more profitable throughout the year. New product launches in the first quarter, as I mentioned earlier, said it about new Del Monte fruit and oats. This is a very innovative and differentiated product in the marketplace. There is not an item like it sold in the U.S. markets, and we've got very encouraging feedback from our trade and consumers. Also entered new product categories, innovation to service. We have launched a new line of rice, cauliflower, and other vegetables throughout our service channel, and are also having success growing our nice fruit frozen pineapple business, which innovative technology is differentiated and brings value to customers and consumers. The last slide, slide 15, on some of the support we've implemented and invested in this year. This is specific to Fruit Notes, and we're teaching consumers and new consumers with online support, consumer promotions, via a lot of digital marketing, and a great deal of in-store excitement that we're creating around the launch of this new business that is our most important product launch as a company in several years. Lastly, there are a few highlights on our food service business. We have a new team that's dedicated to becoming a player in the food service channel. We have the right products and the right brands to do more food service business and more profitable business. Innovation is part of this platform, and we're out actively attending all the industry shows across the country and building this business and building a strong foundation for growth across food service. I'll next pass the presentation to Alejandro.
Thank you, Greg. I will now talk about the Philippines. I'm on page 17. As you can see, Del Monte continues to be the market leader across the categories we compete in. Modern trade and convenience stores are the fastest growing right now, with modern trade accounting for 30% of our sales. We have also made success in the food service area, which continues to grow and now accounts for 20% of the Philippine sales. Going now to slide 18. As earlier reported, our first quarter sales were flat in peso terms. Key accounts in food service and retail beverage and culinary continue to grow. However, these gains were offset by the lower sales of packaged mixed foods. We also launched, as mentioned earlier, the Del Monte Juice and Chews, a very good snack in a drink, combining nata and pineapple with fruit blends. This is very meaningful in today's environment and very popular amongst the teens. And as mentioned earlier, we have made significant headway in growing our food service sales. Slide 19 gives you a flavor of our culinary portfolio and our initiatives. We've just rolled out an upgraded package design. We continue to sustain a lot of our consumption building efforts through recipe education, which has proven successful for us in the past. And in addition to this, we have launched, going into the holiday season, a systems use bundle that contains pasta sauce and our pasta at a discount. Also, this features the same promotion launched on the Contadina brand. Slide 20 talks more about our initiatives in beverage. Essentially, new TV advertising on our core benefits of health and wellness across our beverage line. We've done a lot of aggressive digital campaigns, too, to target our core users. And we've had very, very strong in-store visibility via ACT Media, especially going into the holiday season. Slide 21 talks more about our new products. A lot of them have been mentioned earlier, the Juice and Chews, the Fit and Right Active sports drink, and we've had also a lot of new flavors in the other categories. Moving on to slide 22, S&W Asia and the Middle East, where the core of our business remains to be with our success with Sweet 16 Pineapple, where we are now either number one or number two in North Asia, and we're also building our dominance in the Middle East. E-commerce and digital are growing in North Asia, specifically in China for S&W. Slide 23, just a recap of the S&W business. The sales of S&W are down 15% due to lower sales in North Asia and Turkey. In North Asia, this has been impacted by increased competition for cheap from cheaper canned pineapple products from Thailand. And in Turkey, we temporarily stopped selling due to the currency devaluation and the political uncertainty. We've managed to diversify our portfolio by introducing tomato and pasta sauces from the Philippines into S&W's Asian market. This also includes the introduction of Contadina pasta sauces. Despite the lower sales, S&W delivered higher operating profit and a 5.5 percentage point increase in operating margin, driven by lower cost. Importantly, the group's Nice Food joint venture is off to a good start with the successful relaunch of our frozen pineapple spears in Japan last June. These products are produced in our Nice Food plant in the Philippines, and the pineapple spears are individually packaged and known as pineapple stick. They are available in 70% of 7-Eleven outlets or about 14,000 stores in Japan, and they are selling at about $1.10 per piece, U.S. It is positioned as an on-the-go healthy snack placed in the store's chiller section, and consumer response has been favorable. And we will now offer other SKUs like pineapple chunks in the coming months. Slide 24 shows to you our in-store promotions and merchandising in Singapore for S&W. This continues, and Singapore is actually one of our biggest markets, and we're able to attract a lot of new users in this market too. Going now to our joint venture in India, just Feel Fresh, slide 25. I'm pleased to report that Feel Fresh is now breaking even and on the way to sustain profitability in the coming years. The key driver of the business of late is the Italian range, and this consists of pasta sauce, and also our olive oil. And this category has really driven our growth, now with 40% growth versus a year ago. Slide 26 shows more of our initiatives in increasing pasta market share and consumption as we create more awareness and affinity for the Del Monte range of pasta by leveraging on the versatility of the product and therefore calling it the endless pasta abilities. Slide 27 just recaps a lot of our digital campaign in India, which has been proven successful for us, especially in the dessert area and in other menu creations. With that, I will turn you over to Iggy, who will talk about sustainability.
Thank you, Sito. Improving sustainability is one of the five strategic pillars of the Monte Pacific Group, supporting our vision, nourishing families, enriching lives every day. The MPL further improved its ranking to number 13 in the 2018 Singapore Governance and Transparency Index from number 16 last year, out of 606 companies that are listed on the Singapore Exchange. And we're pleased to report that we are actually the second highest mid-cap company. All the other companies ahead of us are large-cap companies on this index. We are now finalizing our sustainability report in accordance with Singapore Exchange guidelines, and we plan to publish this next month in October. Our juice plant and research and development center and our JY Campus Center building has shifted to a new retail electricity supplier, which has begun to significantly lower our electricity costs. And finally, on the sustainability front, our Del Monte Foundation continues with its mission to help local communities. We remain strongly committed to improve our cash flow, reduce debt, interest expense, as explained by Parag earlier. We raised $300 million of capital last year from our issuance of preference shares, which were the first U.S. dollar-denominated securities listed in the Philippines. To date, we have purchased $225 million out of the total $260 million second lien loans of Del Monte Foods in the U.S. at a discount in a secondary market. Given that this is the highest interest-bearing loan of the group, at 9.75% per annum, and this will continue to be repriced at higher interest rates, we will save at least $10 million of interest payments in FY 2019. We have reduced our gearing to 2.5 times equity at the end of the first quarter in July from 3 times in the prior year. We plan 10% of Del Monte Pacific stake in Del Monte Philippines through a public offering on the Philippine Stock Exchange. We had to defer our IPO plans last June given volatile market conditions, but we will announce when we relaunch this IPO as the equity markets improve. And just to recap the outlook that we presented earlier, barring unforeseen circumstances, the Monte Pacific Group is expected to be profitable in FY 2019 on a recurring basis. And this will be supported by our continued emphasis on, in strengthening the core business and with continued innovation, as outlined by Sito and Greg earlier, focusing on growing our branded business. And equally important is reducing non-strategic, non-branded business segments of the group. And finally, by improving financial performance through a continued review of manufacturing and distribution footprint in the U.S., as outlined by Greg earlier, which is important for us so that we are able to improve operational efficiency, reduce costs, and increase margins in Del Monte Foods in the U.S. And we remain committed to increase cash flow and to strengthen the balance sheet and reduce leverage and interest expense. So with that, we'd like to open the floor to questions. Thank you. Are there any questions on Del Monte Pacific's results?
Hi, Iggy. This is Andy from DBS.
Hi, Andy.
Hello.
Morning.
Hi. Morning. Just one question from me on DMP. In terms of earlier, Sito mentioned in terms of the lower Philippine sales from the lower package mixed fruits. Due to the inventory build-up, excess inventory. Can we have a background on what happened over here and whether that actually has cleared? And also in terms of, maybe talk a bit in terms of the competitive landscape in Philippines.
Yeah, let me explain to you that one. First is, I personally am not worried about that that development. I think we're over the hump now. The reason why sometimes the inventory would bunch up is because during the holiday season, a lot of the trade would usually load up on the mixed fruit here in the Philippines because it is a popular item, especially during the holiday season. What they do is they turn it into what you call a fruit salad, right? So they usually the trade usually builds up the inventory in expectation of consumption. Unfortunately, last year, and the consumption goes through December and January. Unfortunately, through last year, the consumption did not go in as high as we had anticipated. So that by the time that we got into the first quarter, some of the inventories were still left out. So we had to throw it out just to make sure we adjust the trade inventory. So that was the, that was one of the reasons why we got impacted by that mix too. But moving forward, I am not worried whether that is going to impact our performance.
And what do you see in terms of the competition landscape in Philippines, and also in respect to the consumption, or rather the sentiment in Philippines itself?
Yeah, the first is the, as far as our categories are concerned, as you know, the government implemented what they would call the train tax, right? If you heard about the tax on beverage and all of that, no?
Correct.
That has impacted a lot of the beverage companies, no? In fact, they're way below a year ago. For us, you know, actually what we did was, while we implemented a price increase, we did not implement it as high as the others to recover it, because we spread it out across the categories. In addition to that, we've also reformulated our beverage, because if you use stevia, you're actually not subject to the tax. And more importantly, if you look at our total beverage category, 70% of the portfolio is on 100% pineapple juice, and that one does not carry any tax at all. The balance of the portfolio is the one that gets impacted, because that one has sugar in it and you know, the artificial sweeteners. No? So as far as that part is concerned, I think we're doing better, no, than the other companies like URC. Even the beverage companies are down, no? Because when they raise prices to recover the tax, the sugar tax, obviously the consumers reacted and the consumption fell off. Now, will it sustain? I'm not sure. I think it will take another quarter. We will see if the consumers will adjust and will go back. No, but generally the categories where we compete in are strong. The most competitive, of course, is in the pasta and spaghetti sauces, where we have more competition than we would imagine relative to our food category and our beverage, in our beverage category, which is really predominantly juice. So I hope I answered your question in that respect.
Just a quick add-on. In terms of the price increase, how much can you give a sense of how much was your price increase and vis-a-vis competition as well?
So we took a price increase in February 2018 of 3% on an average. And as Sito said, we spread it across categories so that we are not just impacting the beverage business, which contained the sweetness. So we spread it across. It was 3% or below. That's what we took across the products where we could afford it. Then in July, we have taken another 1% increase on an average across our product categories. And if you combine it, it's pretty much, in fact, below the prevailing inflation rate of 5-6%, which we are seeing in Philippines. Whereas other competition, other beverage companies, and which have a predominantly sweetened beverage portfolio, they took a price increase of double digit or even more cover for the sugar tax impact.
Right. Okay, thank you very much.
Are there any other questions?
Hi, this is Jerry from Nomura. Thanks for the company's presentation, and we're thrilled to learn that company has made a progress in my perspective. There is one question that we would like to get more clarity on: how the payables to the Del Monte Philippines are progressing. I think we understand there will be a large amount of receivables that is due to be received by Del Monte Philippines. We understand the group has initiated a group-wide program to solve problems in intercompany receivables. So we would like to hear more from the company's end. Thank you.
So we are on track when it comes to settlement of our intercompany receivables between BMPI and our trading entities, GTL in particular. So we have reduced the trade intercompany receivables by almost 6.3 billion pesos versus January of 2018. So within 6 months, we have settled almost 6.1 billion worth of trade receivables between GTL and BMPI. This is what we had committed when we had provided guidance at the time of IPO issuance. So we are very much in line with our plans, and we will continue to further work on it as we improve our group-wide financing lines under the MPL.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Hi. Hello. Hi, this is Hazel Tanyero from Credit Suisse.
Hi, Hazel.
Hazel.
Hi, hello. Yes, hi.
Hey, so how are you?
Good. Very good. Very good. Starting to read a lot about the company again. Anyway, I have a very quick question. So when I covered the company in CLSA, that was when the DMPL acquired Del Monte Foods consumer business from the private equity owners. And basically, we discussed a lot of these synergies. We saw a good fit between the two entities. We talked about synergies coming from the brand ownership and cost savings and pockets of opportunity such as the U.S. juice market and fruit cups. So I guess what I want to know more or learn more about now is out of the synergies that was discussed in 2014, what is the top three like priority or focus right now in terms of synergies amongst the two entities?
I think let me start with that, and I would request Sito to chime in. In terms of synergies, what we are seeing is a lot more interaction between the two continents when it comes to the innovation pipeline. That's an area where we are working together, whether it's canned fruits or non-canned fruits. The second is, you heard both Greg and Sito talk about nice fruit. So again, in the space of innovation, new technologies, we continue to really work together across the two continents. We are also seeing synergies and improvements on the pineapple based business. Though obviously in the last couple of years, because of oversupply, things have not gone our way. But clearly there is more collaboration in that space as well. Then on procurement side, though it is difficult with the recently announced tariffs, we look at ways to see how we could work together and insourcing items such as tin plate, which is pretty strategic to us, and we will continue working in that area with Gene and with procurement in the U.S. So these are the key highlights. In addition to that, on the back office side, there is a lot of work being done together as we optimize our resources and lower our costs. We continue to support the U.S. and Philippines by really offshoring a lot of activities to Philippines, both in finance, other back offices such as IT. So that's also underway as we work together. But I would like Sito and probably Greg and Gene to comment as well.
I think that pretty wraps it up. I think one is in the product portfolio front, where we're now seeing the products we are making in we have introduced successfully in the U.S. are now being brought to other areas of the world, where through S&W or Del Monte in itself, right? In the IT front, right? In IT, we are also seeing a lot of synergies there. We wish we could get more synergies in procurement, though. But you know, there are contracts that are still operative right now, especially in tinplate, right? Tinplate is one of the biggest cost item we have as a canned product, right? But that one we cannot achieve as much synergy yet as we can because the U.S. has a contract, right? And we also have our own right now, so we cannot marry them. But that would have been one of the biggest synergies that we would have expected. But probably after the contract expires in a couple of years from now, then we will see more areas for synergy in materials like tinplate. But that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah. Okay. To add some examples, we have seen more shipments of fruit cups to the U.S.
Yeah.
I think the innovation that Greg talked about has really created a tremendous halo effect in that category with the success of fruit refreshers and now fruit and chia and more recently fruit and oats. So we are actually supplying a lot more fruit cups to the U.S. market, and we saw that in the first quarter as well. And we brought fruit and chia under the S&W brand to markets like Singapore. And we continue to look at other products that we can bring to Asia. And we also ship a lot of our juice products to the U.S. Initially for the Asian ethnic markets, but we are now penetrating as well the modern trade, right, Sito?
Yep.
Like even in Walmart stores.
Okay. Thank you. Just as a follow-up, so would you say that there if from a strategic point of view, in terms of like volumes, barring the inflationary pressure, the weakness in demand, would you say that there's room for improvement on the distribution side? Like, would there be any holes that, you know, not just for the Philippines, but of course globally, that, you know, outright you could see synergies between the two parties where there's an immediate low-hanging fruit that can be fixed in terms of distribution?
Yes, there are opportunities in pockets. For example, we are now transitioning export of U.S. products in Asia to be managed by the Asian team. So that's underway. Obviously, the distribution of fine products as well as any new product introductions related to that, such as nice fruit, is being driven by the U.S., and I think Greg mentioned that there are clear opportunities, and it's very much a strategic element of U.S.'s plan. So these would be some examples. I mean, we talked about distributing the U.S. products back in Asia and as well as in Philippines. So those are examples of incremental distribution opportunities. On existing range, there is definitely a lot more opportunity in Asian markets as we continue to expand. Also, we are finding distribution opportunities in Philippines as well.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions?
Yeah, Iggy, Alfie here.
Hi, Alfie. Yeah.
Okay, I just want to check with you. Your gain from the purchase of DMFI's second lien loan at discount, it's been going on for, I think, about 2 quarters. Going forward, how many more quarters will you be seeing to book this gain going forward?
I think we have already what, as EG mentioned, 85%
yes.
of the total second lien debt. So $225 million at face value over the last two quarters. There is a little bit more room, and we are working on any opportunity that comes. So we won't say that so whatever we have done so far is the end of it. So we'll be open to any good opportunity that comes our way in the next quarter or two.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. My second question will be, can you talk a bit more about the competition from cheaper canned pineapple from Thailand and the impact that you're seeing in this quarter?
Yeah. This one we found in China in... particularly in the bakery segment. As you know, we have a very good business in China for process, right, for canned. But this is really through the bakery business because in retail, they really don't like the canned. And that's why our fresh pineapple has been growing there. So since last year, as you know, Thailand has had some excess inventory that they're trying to get rid of right now. So they really brought down the prices very, very low. We don't know whether they're still making money out of that, but they are really unloading the inventory because the crop is coming in, the winter crop, so-called winter crop is coming in now. So we think that based on our estimate, the excess supply would have been thawed out by the end of this calendar year. And we would be in an equilibrium position going into next year. So in a way, that has temporarily impacted our pineapple sales in China, in the bakery segment where we sell to today, and as well as in one of our customers in Korea.
Okay. Are you seeing a lot of inventory build up due to this, or it's at a manageable level?
I think it's manageable. No, it's manageable. It's just that. The Thais have sold lower priced pineapple, so we couldn't go in. And we had to reallocate. We have to reallocate the supply to some other markets. That's what we did.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, just to build on what Peter said, just to build on that, we also are able to take action and reduce inventory where we are seeing high levels, such as pine juice concentrate being an example in Q1. We were able to reduce it significantly and address the issues, though it put pressure on the margin.
And that's also good because pineapple concentrate was not a good business for us last year, right? So this year, I think we're pretty much sold out, right? We're not under pressure on trying to sell out. And also because of our continued progress in our beverage business, in a packaged beverage, pineapple juice. The more we sell of that, the less pineapple supply that beverage or liquid supply that goes into pineapple concentrate. So that has been a focus for us in order to correct whatever pricing pressure we would have in pineapple concentrate.
Okay, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay, we probably have time just for maybe one or two more questions. Is there any other question? Okay, if there are no questions, we'd like to conclude our call and thank you for joining us today. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.